No one can keep a secret forever. Polly and Bob DeVore are beacons of their community.
They had quite a bit of money. They were living comfortably.
But when the unexpected strikes, their whole world comes tumbling down.
There was a lot going on there. There was gambling, there was drugs, there was sex, lots and lots of secrets.
Nothing is off limits.
That is disgusting.
When love and lust shatter loyalty.
The secrets that they were trying to keep hidden from everyone else got out one way or another.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's 2007 in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And Bob and Polly DeVore are living happily ever after.
They seem to have a great life. They seem to like each other, and they get along with people in the community.
The DeVores have built a small real estate empire from numerous rental properties around town.
They had quite a bit of money. They were living comfortably.
Polly and Bob DeVore were the envy of their community in Arkansas. They were a power couple.
Both have been married before. Bob suffered through a divorce, and Polly's previous husband died. But the two soulmates have forged a loving relationship that has lasted more than 20 years.
The marriage between Bob and Polly was a very happy relationship, very loving on both sides. Everything was going to go well. Their business was going to prosper, and life was going to go well.
The DeVores had a picturesque, beautiful life. It was a serene, quiet, simple life, but a very financially stable one.
Bob and Polly look forward to a bright future and a comfortable retirement. But on June 15th, 2007, their enviable life descends into a hellish nightmare.
Polly?
Bob returns from a business trip to a shocking sight. The house has been ransacked.
Bob DeVore arrived home on that June evening, came in his house, and noticed that his house was in disarray.
Close to 10 grand in cash is gone.
Some rental receipts and some bank bags that were associated with the rental property were taken from the residence.
And worst of all, Polly is nowhere to be found.
Hello, you need to send somebody over here in a hurry?
Frantic, Bob calls 911.
Money and my wife is gone. Something's terribly wrong. You need to send somebody over here now.
Investigators scour the house for any clues to what happened.
We would have been looking for signs of a struggle, a fight that took place, blood evidence, trace evidence that would be associated with that type of aggravated crime.
You try to think outside the box of how it happened, what could have happened.
Right off the bat, something seems odd. The house has been ransacked, and Polly is missing. But there's no sign of a struggle.
The crime scene didn't yield any evidence that anybody had been injured, that anyone had been shot.
Stranger still, there's no sign of a break-in.
If just a burglar, how'd they get in the house? The house is locked. There's no sign of any forced entry. That's a red flag.
But the foremost question on everyone's mind is, what happened to Polly?
Nobody knows where Polly has gone. Polly's been kidnapped. Where is Polly?
This was a prominent person in the community who had disappeared without a trace. She's gone like smoke.
Is there any reason why anybody would want to hurt your wife?
Detectives ask Bob if he can think of anyone who might want to rob him or have reason to harm Polly.
I don't know.
But the distraught husband draws a blank.
I don't know anybody who doesn't like her.
Bob was surprised, and there certainly wasn't anything that he knew of that would indicate that Polly was in danger or that someone had a problem with him or with Polly.
But Bob does tell police that Polly has been drawing a lot of attention around town lately.
My wife had won big at the casino the other night, so there was happened to be a lot of cash here.
It seems his wife is an avid gambler, and she's been on a hot streak at the casino.
There was more than four or five occasions where she would have come home with more than $5,000, and she was very proud of that. She was very lucky.
Maybe someone followed her home. I don't know.
Bob wonders if someone could have taken note of Polly's winnings.
Bob's first theory was that someone had followed Polly home from the casino after she won money.
Someone could have abducted her in order to take the winnings that she had won from the casino.
If someone had followed Polly home, the robber would have really hit the jackpot with the divorce cash rental income. But police have no leads on who could have committed the crime, and the theory doesn't explain Polly's mysterious disappearance. 2 days later, as the news of the crime spreads through town, an alarmed neighbor contacts police with a strange story.
Yeah, well, Dolores stopped by the other night.
He tells detectives Polly's daughter from a previous marriage, Dolores Eggert, who lives in a guest house on her mother's property, came to his home the day after the DeVores were robbed with a strange request.
That's terrible.
I was wondering if you could hold on to Bob's guns.
Dolores had shown up at his property with some rifles and shotguns and had asked him to keep them.
Just because I don't want the police to get the wrong idea.
Her mother was missing and she did not want Bob to get in trouble for the firearms.
Dolores explained that Bob's not allowed to keep the guns himself due to an old weapons charge.
Sure, sure.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thanks for understanding.
It's an odd story. If Dolores knew her mother was missing, why hadn't she called police, or at least her stepfather? Investigators want to question Polly's daughter, but they can't find her.
We did not know where she was at. We just knew we could not find her at her house or other places.
Please give us a call as soon as you can.
And she wouldn't answer our attempts to call in her phone.
Bob says he has no idea where his stepdaughter might be, and he hasn't been able to get in touch with her either.
People are searching for her mother. So we find it very odd that you leave town when your mother's missing.
Police are not sure what happened to Polly DeVore, but they're certain that her daughter knew she was missing. Could Dolores somehow be involved in the robbery and disappearance of her own mother? Or is she a victim herself? Police issue an APB, alerting regional law enforcement that Dolores and Polly are both missing.
Now we have two missing women and no idea what the connection is. This raises a lot of questions about what's going on with this family. It's just so odd.
The search for a missing mother and daughter leads investigators down a trail of secrets they never expected.
There was a lot of weirdness going on behind the scenes there. They had a lot of secrets.
Polly DeVore has vanished from her Arkansas home under suspicious circumstances. Even stranger, Polly's daughter Dolores has disappeared too. Dolores told a neighbor she knew that her mother was missing, but then seemingly skipped town herself.
It seems clear to the investigators that there's some connection between the disappearances of Polly and Dolores.
Could mother and daughter be together, or could something more sinister be at play?
There's a lot of different scenarios that have to play out here, and the police have to thoroughly examine each of those. Could Polly and Dolores have run off together? Could Polly and Dolores been the victims of crime themselves? Could Dolores in some way be responsible for Polly's disappearance?
Investigators learn that, given the family history, there's some reason to believe that Dolores could be involved.
Okay, Dolores, you have to get a job, and you got to get out of my house.
Mom and Dolores were known to have their set twos. They would argue and verbally fight.
You're not going to get a job dressed like a hooker.
Thanks.
I don't think their relationship was what you would say is storybook. It was always tense.
I think you're immature. I think you're lazy. Get your life together and grow up.
Things had been so volatile during Dolores's teenage years that Polly had sent her to live with her father in Texas. And during her time away, Dolores fell prey to drugs.
Dolores Eggert had a shady past and was involved in her past with methamphetamine and other narcotics.
She did have a lot of turmoil, and she had a lot of setbacks. If you fail, then you have to fall back and regroup. And she probably fell back and regrouped a lot.
Police wonder if Dolores could have robbed and kidnapped her mother for drug money.
That's ridiculous to think that Dolores would ever harm her mother.
They were very close.
Bob tells investigators that after years of estrangement, Polly took Dolores in and had been devoted to helping her get a new start in life.
It was a great relationship.
And Bob insists Dolores was grateful for the second chance.
She had been working for my mom in the rental properties and on the property for whatever she could do. She was earning money that way. My mom would pay her for that. That would be one way of her supporting herself.
Bob swears Dolores wouldn't hurt a soul, least of all her mother.
Bob was adamant that Dolores could not in any way be involved in Polly's disappearance. He made that clear to the police. Their relationship was improving, and there was no way that Dolores was involved in Polly's disappearance.
Is it possible, then, that mother and daughter ran off together? Detectives can't rule it out, but there are other scenarios that need to be considered, too, like the possibility that Bob killed his wife.
When someone turns up missing in any situation, the first place that the police are going to look is the spouse. Do they have some reason, some motive to harm their husband or wife?
Bob claims to have been out of town at the time of Polly's disappearance. Investigators painstakingly go through Bob's travel records and receipts, looking for any hint that he might be lying. But his alibi checks out.
We were able to verify where Bob had been for the past 3 days, and so it was pretty easy to establish his timeline of where he was on what day at what time.
Detectives wonder if there might be anyone else interested in harming Polly or even Dolores. They begin digging deeper into the DeVore's business dealings, and they discover that when it comes to business, sweet Polly is known for being tough as nails.
Her reputation was very fierce. I mean, you know, she was a landlord.
Sean, you're home.
Yeah, I'm home.
Wow, it's the first time I haven't had to track you down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, got some money for me?
Pauline was a very rough lady. She was rough in the sense that she was known for it was her way or the highway.
Many of the DeVore's rental properties are in a rough area of town. Yet Polly insisted on collecting the rent in person.
I don't have the rent right
now. You need to pay me the rent or you can go.
And she expected to get paid on time, in cash. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Polly always carried large sums of cash because she got paid in cash for rent on the apartments. She always had a bag of cash and receipts and things like that with her.
Listen, can you give me a couple of days?
No.
I haven't been working.
No, I will come back tomorrow with the sheriff and we will evict you. I have six more people waiting on this apartment, Marianne. I don't have time to play.
Police know that landlord-tenant disputes can quickly escalate to violence.
Do you have the money or not?
Maybe the hard-nosed landlady pushed someone too far.
While Polly was over collecting the rent fees from the rentals there in Silo, may have been an altercation with one of their tenants.
Had one of them followed her home and robbed her?
She was constantly collecting money. That would have made her vulnerable for somebody who knew how the operation was put together. Mom could have fallen prey to almost any kind of a robbery, somebody following her just for the cash that she carried.
But when detectives start questioning Polly's tenants,
yes,
a different side of this tough landlady emerges.
She was not one to be trifled with or to be bullied. But there were a lot of people that I talked to in the community who said that over the years, she was also very charitable. She really tried to be an asset to the people in the community.
You're not gonna have to leave. You know why? Because I put aside a little money for you.
It seems this tough landlady was loved by everyone.
If there was a problem, or if her tenant was having a problem, she's pretty strict, but yet she still had a heart, and she would take and work with them and stuff like that.
Most of the repairs and stuff.
But some of the tenants tell police their landlady had become preoccupied lately.
She spent a little time gambling.
When Polly collected the monthly rent, they say she didn't go to the bank. She made a beeline for the casino.
She was known to, on some occasions, around the first of the month when she would go pick up the proceeds from her rental property, one of her frequent first stops was the casino to gamble.
It seems that Polly has a closely guarded secret. She isn't just an avid gambler. She's becoming an addict.
Polly was spending more and more time and more money at the casinos, and that was a big concern.
Her gambling was putting a strain on the finances at home. Pauline was spending a lot of the money that she collected off her rent at the casino.
It seems Polly was spending the rent money at the casino faster than she could bring it in, potentially throwing away her and Bob's financial security for the fleeting thrill of tempting lady luck.
It did look like it was taking a bit of a hold on her. And we were concerned about that, but we were aware that she would be at the casino sometime during the day.
That was a big concern that they had, that Polly was out spending all of Bob and Polly's money.
How many husbands would sit idly by and watch their wives gamble away their future?
You can't be gambling. You can't throw away our life savings.
I didn't throw it away. Consider it a loan.
Had Bob taken a drastic step to protect his bank account?
I would say that Polly was starting to have a gambling problem. I think that Bob had gotten to a point where he saw it as a concern to his livelihood.
The money that we've been saving up for our future, you've been gambling it away. This is our future.
Bob and Polly were not young people. They couldn't afford to lose their nest egg now at this point in their life. Was this addiction, this compulsion, costing Bob money, that he might do something to stop it?
A secret addiction reveals an unspeakable obsession.
There was a lot going on there. There was gambling, there was drugs, there was sex, lots and lots of secrets. And I don't think anyone, including their closest neighbors, knew what was going on.
Detectives investigating the disappearance of Polly DeVore and her daughter Dolores Eggert have made what they believe is a game-changing discovery. The DeVore's wealthy facade masks an embarrassing secret that's bleeding the family fortune dry.
By all outward appearances, they were living comfortably. But when you take a closer look, what you found was that the money that they had been able to save over a number of years was slowly dwindling away due to her gambling addiction.
The DeVore's rental properties, their house, and their comfortable retirement are all now hanging by a thread.
Most of their properties were, and their holding was mortgaged pretty well to the hilt, and they were having some struggle financially.
You can't be gambling. The money's going out faster than it's coming in.
Certainly, Bob must have known that his wife's compulsive gambling was threatening their future.
I'm gonna win it back.
Only the casino wins it back.
Gambling addiction, like a drug addiction, is a strain on the family. Someone who has a gambling compulsion is using all the money they can get their hands on for that big score.
In the beginning, Polly was able to hide that she was participating in gambling because she could cover it with the income that she was earning. But as time went on, it became clear that she couldn't necessarily cover her gambling debts.
We were not able to develop the exact amount of money that Polly DeVore had actually gambled away. But she was more than just an occasional frequent flyer at the casino. Addiction's, you know.
What are we supposed to do? We're in debt. We're behind.
Could Bob's resentment have exploded into a violent rage?
If Polly were to disappear or be murdered, then Bob stood to gain control back over his finances. He would not be losing money to the casino anymore, and he wanted to stop the bleeding.
Even though he has an alibi for the time of his wife's disappearance, police believe Bob has a clear motive for wanting her dead. But when detectives examine Polly's will, they make a puzzling discovery. She's worth more to Bob alive than dead.
If something happened to Polly, Bob would technically lose their assets they own together.
According to the will, Bob would actually inherit next to nothing if his wife died.
The property that was owned by Bob and Pauline was in a trust, which was a trust that was from her first husband.
Upon Polly's death, all the rental properties would be distributed among members of her family. But Bob isn't one of them.
He had absolutely nothing to gain by getting rid of Polly because he didn't own the house. It was in Polly's name, and when she was gone, he had to leave.
And Bob wasn't the only family member left out of the will. Polly's daughter, Dolores, also stood to get nothing.
There's no financial incentive here for Bob or Dolores to kill Polly. Bob and Dolores don't stand to gain anything by her death.
The investigation hits an impasse. Without a motive, detectives can't even determine if Polly and Dolores are dead or simply missing.
There was a lot of frustration and anxiety ran high in that you just want something to happen or take place so that you can move forward.
The investigation seemed to be going nowhere. Just to hope that something would surface was very frustrating. It was terrible. It was very hard on the family.
Police turn up the intensity on the investigation. Since Dolores told a neighbor that her mother was missing and the house had been robbed, investigators think she may know more about what's going on than anyone else. They elect to make Dolores more than just a missing person.
We had an arrest warrant issued for her. That elevated Dolores Edgar in this investigation from a person of interest to a possible suspect and player that would have firsthand knowledge of what occurred.
Dolores Dolores is the prime person of interest. They want to question her. They want to find out what she knows. It's so incredibly unusual that your mother goes missing, and then you go missing a few days later without anybody knowing where you went and without you telling anybody where you went.
Finally, more than a week after she disappeared, police find Dolores Eggert, alive, well, and 500 miles away in Mississippi.
She was working in Mississippi for approximately a week before investigators were able to locate her and have her come back to the area to be questioned.
Under police interrogation, the prodigal daughter seems genuinely surprised that her absence caused any alarm.
I didn't realize that it was going to be an issue. I go away all the time.
Dolores tells the investigators that she's been in Mississippi all along working a construction job and that she simply had overlooked leaving a forwarding number.
Right. She tells detectives that she wasn't with her mother. And it never occurred to her that Polly might have been abducted.
I never would have left if I thought that it was this serious.
Dolores just assumed that her mom took off for a few days on a gambling spree.
Dolores had no idea. She was surprised that Polly had disappeared and hadn't returned.
I didn't know, and I have to work, you know?
She was concerned, but she didn't have any theory about what might have happened here.
Listen, I really don't know anything. I wish I could be more help.
Police find her story fishy, but when they follow up...
Well, you do know her, yes.
It seems to check out.
May have seemed a bit strange, but nevertheless would explain why she disappeared 2 days after her mother disappeared. Dolores did have an answer to everything.
We have an alibi from Dolores that checks out. It leaves police with a lot of loose ends.
But as the investigation nears another standstill, detectives begin to hear whispers of a shocking allegation.
It was disgusting.
One that will force police to look at the case in a new light.
With any investigation, at the base root of the crime, there's always a secret that someone's trying to keep or keep hidden or keep from coming out or come to light.
The word around town is that Dolores' secret is ghastly.
We had really nothing to go on but rumors and weird behavior and just things that didn't add up.
Could these scandalous rumors possibly be true?
Every member of this family kept secrets from every other member of the family. The entire family kept secrets from the community.
It is a shocking relationship, but with this bunch, it's nothing really shocks you.
Police searching for Polly DeVore have heard disturbing rumors that may change the entire course of their investigation. If backfence chatter is to be believed, Polly's daughter Dolores had been having an affair with a married man. And not just any man, her stepfather, Bob.
The idea that Dolores and Bob were having an affair right under Polly's nose was so shocking. Nobody could even wrap their heads around the fact that Bob could be having an affair with his wife's daughter.
Can these disturbing rumors even be true?
I didn't think it was my place to say anything until now. It was disgusting.
A friend from Dolores' past comes forward, claiming that he saw something he wasn't meant to see while visiting their home.
He walked in and they were actually kissing. Once it was revealed and we could pretty well substantiate it was not just a vicious rumor. You have a husband and a stepdaughter involved in it.
And according to Dolores' friend, they'd been going at it under everyone's nose for at least a year.
As the affair had started between Bob and Dolores, they were very secretive about it. It just crossed a lot of unspoken boundaries that one doesn't cross. You have a lot of betrayal, not only between mother and daughter, but between a father figure and his stepdaughter, and there's just some things that may not necessarily be against the law, but they're just morally not right.
Even though Bob and Dolores kept their affair under wraps, secrets have a way of getting out.
Having sex with my daughter in my own bed?
Never, that is disgusting.
Never?
Did Polly discover the affair and confront her husband or her daughter about this ultimate betrayal?
I know you're sleeping with my husband.
I would have to say that Polly suspected very strongly that Bob DeVore was having a relationship with his stepdaughter, Dolores Eggert.
I mean, seriously, if you were him, who would you choose?
Pauline knew about the affair. I'm sure other people in town knew about the affair.
Stay away from my daughter.
There's no question that a relationship between a daughter and her stepfather is taboo. And it's not accepted in the community. It's not accepted among other family members.
How many times have you been with my daughter?
This is a grave concern for the police.
Police must now consider that the affair gives Dolores a strong motive for wanting her mother out of the way. With Polly gone, Dolores would be free to take over her mom's life in every way. And now that she's returned to town, that's exactly what she's doing. Replacing Polly in her home, in her business, and in her bed.
She wanted everything that her mother had. She wanted her husband. She wanted the privileges that went along with all that.
It's been 2 weeks since Polly DeVore disappeared, and police don't have one lead on her whereabouts. Investigators have to face the possibility that the missing woman may be dead. If that's the case, a promising suspect in her murder could be her very own daughter. But how do you prove it?
The problem we had with this entire case was we didn't have a body. And it's hard to arrest somebody for murder when you're not able to prove that a murder's been committed.
And while suspicion grows by the day, detectives can't find a single shred of evidence to suggest that Dolores or anyone killed Polly. Whatever secrets she knows, she's not telling.
She was able to keep those secrets hidden and very tight-lipped. It was very hard for investigators to get a grasp exactly what had taken place in order to thoroughly investigate the murder.
Just to hope that something would surface was very frustrating. And to wait to find out was terrible. The investigation seemed to go on forever.
But just as investigators are losing hope, they get a small break in the case. Police learn that Dolores has been keeping yet another dirty secret.
What we found out was that Dolores had turned to one of her old habits, which was the use of methamphetamine, and started back into the drug abuse.
Although she claimed to have turned over a new leaf, old habits die hard.
She was doing her best to keep it under wraps. But in a small town, that would be almost impossible because word gets around that she was buying drugs and using drugs. Dolores was on a downward spiral.
Detectives hope that someone in Dolores's drug circle might have some information. And when they bust a woman named Monica on a forgery charge, they find just the opening they need.
Dolores and Monica were best friends. They worked together, they did meth together, they hung out together. They'd probably known each other for 10 years.
I told you, I don't know anything.
Police press Monica for information on what may have happened to Polly DeVore.
Monica, we know you know more.
She claims she doesn't know anything.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know.
Dolores was good friends with Monica, and they they did a lot of things together. Whether or not she had witnessed something, whether or not she was involved in something, they weren't absolutely sure, but they suspected that there was something that Monica knew.
You gotta tell us.
So police play hardball.
Now look, we're gonna have immigration come over. If you don't tell us, we're prepared to have you deported.
That gets her attention.
Okay, I'll tell you everything.
She finally agrees to talk, but only if she gets full immunity.
I want a deal. Nothing happens to me.
And why does Monica need immunity? Because she knows for a fact that Polly DeVore is dead.
Monica, Polly broke down and said, okay. And that's only after our prosecutor granted her full immunity. So it's kind of like in a deal with the devil, I guess. But sometimes you take what you can get.
Talk.
When Monica starts talking, all the shocking secrets behind Polly DeVore's death will finally be revealed.
There were a lot of dirty secrets in this case and a lot of secrets that people were willing to kill to keep covered up.
Okay, I'll tell you everything.
Detectives finally have what they believe is the missing link connecting Dolores Eggert to the murder of her mother, Polly DeVore. There's no body, but Dolores' best friend Monica tells detectives that she knows Polly DeVore is dead.
She had to go. It was a problem that needed to be fixed.
She says she knows because she watched Dolores shoot her mother.
Dolores, please!
And then helped her friend burn the body.
She planned it all and I helped her.
That was the one thing that broke everything open in this case. Monica came in and told investigators not only what they already suspected or strongly believed, but she told them things that we didn't know.
Dolores planned everything.
Monica says Dolores convinced her that Polly was going to have the two of them arrested for stealing money for drugs.
What are we going to do?
Well, we're not going to jail.
Dolores told Monica, she said, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to prison. We're going to have to do something about it.
The young women then lured Polly to a remote part of the DeVore's property.
Hey, are you okay?
Monica tells Polly that Dolores has been injured and needs help.
Dolores, what's wrong?
Dolores pulls a gun, and in a flash, it's over.
They burn her body till it's almost completely gone.
I guess you could call it overkill. Not just beating her mother, not just shooting her mother, but then setting the body on fire.
After the murder, Dolores has one more task to cover her tracks.
Dolores comes back with this idea that she's gonna make the house look ransacked to the police.
All this over a little drug money? Investigators aren't convinced.
We know you know more.
What, they ask Monica, really drove Dolores to kill? Was it a crime of passion over Bob's affections or something more?
I think you're immature. I think you're lazy. No, I will not tolerate this anymore. Got it? Get your life together and grow up.
Anything.
I cannot believe that you have gone to
okay.
this level.
Okay.
Monica explains the motive stretched back for decades.
Dolores had to have had a lot of resentment toward her mother in order to kill her.
You're controlling and you're manipulative. I can't take it anymore.
I think it may have come from being sent away to relatives as a child. I don't think she ever got over that.
Leave this house.
Monica says Dolores' greatest secret was that she hated her mother.
I've hated you my entire life.
Don't do this!
She believes Dolores tried to make herself look like the perfect reformed daughter just so she could win Polly's trust and play out her devious plan.
The one thing that she knew she could do that would hurt her mother was if she had a sexual affair with her husband.
I'm going to take everything that's important to you.
After all the resentment and the anxiety that Dolores felt towards her mother, what she ultimately wanted to be was her mother, and she wanted to take her place. And by murdering her mother, she was able to step into her shoes, live in her house, sleep with her husband.
I'm your mother. Shut up.
This crime just further emphasized this hatred that Dolores had for her mother. Not only did she kill her, but she had to burn her body, completely obliterate any sign of Polly.
But Dolores left enough behind for investigators to prove who it is.
From that site that Monica had actually pointed out to us, we were able to recover evidence that matched Polly DeVore's dental work.
It's enough to make an ironclad case against Dolores Eggert. With Monica as state's witness, Dolores pleads guilty and is sentenced to 30 years for first-degree murder.
Killing one's mother, having an affair with her husband. This is behavior that goes so outside the realm of socially acceptable conduct that most of us can't even comprehend what type of person is capable of doing this.
But detectives are left with one unanswered question. What did Bob know about his wife's murder?
We never could prove Bob conspired to kill Polly. He wasn't heartbroken that she was gone, that's for sure.
Nevertheless, prosecutors do make a successful case against Bob on a lesser charge. Polly's husband is found guilty of hindering the investigation and sentenced to 10 years in prison. To investigators, it's the final irony. Bob DeVore thought Dolores loved him.
In looking at everything that happened between Bob and Dolores, it was apparent that Bob seemed to be infatuated and more emotionally attached to Dolores than Dolores was to Bob.
I think Bob was in love. I don't think Dolores was in love.
Dolores was into Bob for a much more sinister reason.
Bob and Dolores' relationship was just a means by which Dolores could further manipulate him. She manipulated her stepfather just as a means to harm her mother with this illicit relationship.
To all appearances, Dolores Eggert seemed like a loving and loyal daughter trying to rebuild her life. But her secret hatred and hunger for revenge broke every rule of civilized behavior and destroyed an entire family. A family still struggling to pick up the pieces today.
Yeah, the circumstances are very hard to accept. You wish it wasn't true, but the facts are there. You have to accept them and go on. You can't let it stop your life. Of course, there's far too many people depending on you and me that we have to go on.